Hey, 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 welcome to the Shit Show with J-Bo. How the hell are you out there? Really cool to get back in touch. I think it's been 2 weeks since our last transmission. We had Dave on, talking some politics. What would you guys think about me and Dave doing a political podcast? Just us two. Once a week, stream of consciousness. Maybe get some guests. I love the idea of that. The only problem is I don't think I could have a full-time job and do two podcasts. Obviously, one podcast per week has been a bit of an effort for me. And I was using my mother's death as a great excuse for not doing a podcast every week. But then, to be honest, I just came to the conclusion that I was... The first month, I couldn't do it, right? But now I'm back at a place where I could do it every week, and I'm going to do it every week. I just, it's like, I don't know, I was listening to this Joe Rogan thing the other day, and he was talking about, you know, if you don't want to work out, he's like, there's many days he doesn't want to work out, but you just work out anyway, and you feel better. And after I do my podcast, I always feel better. And isn't that funny? Us as human beings, at least us that aren't particularly like emotionally healthy, we let things kind of, things that bring us great joy, it's like we don't do them because they require effort, because we're not wise enough at that moment to see that after the fact, we're going to feel much better. So, you know, there is a theory that as humans, we are always doing exactly what we want to do at all times, and we are always exactly where we are most comfortable, I guess, you know, regarding emotional state. So if we're unhappy, that's where we like to be. If we're happy, that's where we like to be. And the people who are emotionally kind of fucked up, it would make sense that they don't do the things that make them happy because it's too much effort, because the reality is they're used to being unhappy. So everybody out there, if you want to be happy, and that's a big if, don't ever make a pretty woman your wife, and go exert that force upon the world. Because wasn't it Einstein that said, if you want to achieve a goal, all you have to do is vibrate at that frequency, and it's a foregone conclusion, it's just fact, that if you vibrate at that frequency, you will achieve that goal. And I do believe it's true. It's just vibrating at that frequency takes a lot of effort, you know, sometimes. And it's a little bit of a leap of faith at first. But I don't know. I mean, legitimately speaking, if I just became obsessed with whatever and vibrated at the right frequency, whether it was my job, whether it was this podcast, whether it was my music, if I just put everything into it and vibrated at that frequency, could I achieve it? Would I achieve it? I'd damn sure be happy with the personal reward of doing the thing the best of my ability, which is massive. So yeah, that would be the thing. And the thing you strive for is excellence, right? Regardless of commercial profit or whatever. I hope that made some sense. I'm pulling from a lot of resources there in my head, things I've heard over the years that kind of made some sense. I hope I was making sense again. And how the hell are you folks, you fine motherfuckers, you awesome people out there? Wow, it's really cool to call people fine motherfuckers and awesome people, because it gives this feeling of, hopefully, a feeling of energy and inertia and being pleasant and optimism and a sunrise and that little feeling bubbling up, you know, that pop music, like when you listen to the Beatles, when you're young, and that feeling it bubbles up from your solar plexus and just kind of woo, you know, it just woo, you know what I mean? So everybody right now, just like, I want you to, whether you're man or female, I want you to just start right where the soul, what's it called? The, not the soul patch, but the happy trail that comes up from the crotchal area up through the belly button, the hair. Some of you guys out there have more hair than others. Some of you women probably got a little bit of hair down there too. And I think that's kind of cute. Sorry, I'm getting fucking distracted. I keep hearing noises outside my door. They might bust in here in a second. I might have to stop. But anyway, just tickle. Everybody put their base. Okay, let's make it easy. Just put your finger in your belly button and just coax up the hairline up real nice. And you feel that kind of like, it's okay. You could actually give yourself chicken flesh on your chest and you just pull it up. Woo! And it just feels real nice. And that's what we're trying to achieve here, that kind of feeling as adults. And it's not always easy to achieve that feeling as adults. You ever look in the mirror sometimes and you just are like, man, I'm that worn out, haggard motherfucker from the movies that I recognize as a child as some kind of hardened adult. You know, life goes on long after the thrill of living is gone. In the blink of a young girl's eye, glory days. I hate that fucking song by Bruce Springsteen, by the way. I'm not a big fan of Bruce Springsteen. I can acknowledge that he seems to be talented and people seem to love him, so he must be tapping into something. But, you know, when I came of age with Bruce, it was in the 80s, and it was decent. I mean, Born in the USA, I know it has a deeper meaning. It's not necessarily patriotic, but never liked it. Ooh, I'm on fire. Never liked I'm on fire. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? I never liked that stupid dance he did with the chick from Friends, Courtney Cox Arquette. You know that 80s dance, you kind of snap and you just do this fucking rhythmic thing, you know? Pretty trendy. Pretty trendy for a badass boss, you know what I mean? Do you guys like MMA? My buddy, I was telling him about MMA, and he just doesn't want to hear it, man. My buddy Mike, he called me a redneck. He said, I'm turning into a redneck. And I was like, motherfucker. Anyway, Mike's going to be on the show again next week, probably. He's the guy who hiked the Appalachian Trail. And he said I was turning into a redneck. And I was like, well, fuck that, man. What is it, my Trump support? Is that what you're talking about? Is that what you're fucking nailing me for? You fucking political bigot. And I said, I'm not the one putting patchouli on my hip and wearing trendy-ass camouflage pants, bitch. And it all just came out so quick, you know? And, I was telling him about my love of MMA. My recent love of MMA. Every day I just search YouTube for MMA clips. And the thing that keeps coming up, obviously they're trying to push this dude. And I think he's a badass. His name is Nate Diaz. Nate! It's just Nathan Diaz. But the way they announce it when he's fighting is like, Nate Diaz, Diaz. It's turning that Diaz into Diaz, which makes it sound like a fucking lightning bolt. Sounds pretty cool. I think the dude is funny, but I think he's also incredibly smart. And I think he's also cultivated this like anti-hero that has been thrown around about him lately, but I think it's true. This anti-hero image and like this yokel image, like he's just some dumb motherfucker, like, man, I don't know, you know, he's just talking like fucking lots of slang and just like he's got marbles in his mouth. And like, you know, Conor McGregor said he looked like a wounded gazelle in some interview, and he said, this is America. We don't even know what the fuck a gazelle is, man. Shut up. We don't even know what a gazelle is. This is America. And it's like, a guy that smart, can he be that dumb? He's not dumb, you know what I mean? But can he talk like he's that dumb? I doubt it. It's funny, though. He's super punk to me. He's like punk rock dude. he smokes joints of CBD and fucks with people while he's on stage at, like, you know, the preliminary workout for his latest fight. He's just fucking funny. He's a funny dude, and he's an ass whipper. And the look, I'm not going to sit here and paraphrase the guy, but you should go on YouTube and just look up Nate Diaz funny moments, and you'll see what I mean. The guy's like this lovable fucking badass, and he even invented his own belt. It's really funny. He fought last night, and I went down to Buffalo Wild Wings and watched him fight on TV, of course. And what the fuck was I going to say about Nate Diaz? Anyway, he fought. Oh, yeah, and he didn't fight for a belt, but he invented his own belt called the baddest motherfucker on the planet belt, and he's going to get it made up. And he challenged the guy that I mentioned in his podcast before, Jorge Masvidal, who kneed that dude, Ben Askren, in the face and beat him in 5 seconds. He called him out, and it was this great moment. Like, after he was done fighting, he said he wanted to fight Jorge Masvidal next as the baddest motherfucker. He wanted to make a belt, and they were going to fight for that because he knows they're both like dogs, man. They're both like gangsters. And he said, like, Jorge's a gangster and I'm a gangster, but Jorge ain't no West Coast gangster. So it was this funny thing, and there's this clear camaraderie between them. You know, he said it, and Jorge Masvidal was so fucking happy. He was just sitting there in the stands, and he's like, fuck yeah, and he gives him, like, punches his heart and, like, throws him up the Hitler sign. And, you know, but it was like this great respect, and you know they're going to beat the fuck out of each other. You know they're going to talk mad shit. But, like, after the fights and, like, now, they're buddies, you know, and that's pretty amazing to me. I don't know if I could get my ass whipped and just be down, you know, down to clown with the dude who just whipped my ass or the guy I just beat their ass. I'd be more down to clown if I beat their ass as opposed to them beating my ass. You know, it's all very interesting. But, you know, that's how it goes. We all have our skill sets. We all have our comfort levels. That just seems much more extreme, you know. For instance, sometimes I have a hard time getting up in a room full of people, right? And getting up in front of a room full of people and talking. Some people relish that. I was in community college at one point, and I needed to make a piece of art, and so I actually just gave them my mixtape from a live performance I had done. It was really stupid as far as the amount of effort that had gone into it, which was zero. And they wanted me to explain it. I remember feeling so uncomfortable just trying to explain the tape. And, oh, God, I was not suited for college back then at all. But anyway, like, for instance, I can get on stage. I can sing on stage. I can be very dramatic, you know, with my voice and, like, perform like that. And there's some people out there that would just make their blood run cold. You know, they could never even dream of it, you know. And maybe they do things that I couldn't, you know, I'm sure they do, but, you know, I look at somebody who, like, I don't know, just a fight in general, it just seems so bizarre to me. I don't really fight, you know. I got punched once in eighth grade. I fight with my brother, but I don't know. I was raised by a mom and her boyfriends, you know, they didn't teach us to fight. I didn't do karate. I went to a Catholic school. I don't know. I guess I'm a fucking pussy. I guess that's what it would make me. But, you know, a lot of people went to Catholic school and they like to fight. So I don't know. Maybe I need to take a fucking martial arts class. That's probably it. I actually called up the mixed martial arts place the other day. And but then I just, my shoulder's fucked up right now because I'm a fucking old man. And I don't know if it'd even be worth it because I can't really throw a fucking punch with my right hand right now. Fucking defenseless, man. It fucking sucks. So I don't know. Maybe as soon as my shoulder gets better, it's like I tore my rotator cuff. I don't know, man. That'd be fucking badass. Some dude comes up to you and you know exactly what's up. You know exactly how to, like, you know, nullify the threat or whatever the fucking terminology is. Anyway, Nate Diaz is fucking funny as shit. Please go look him up. I've been really into that dude. And he won last night. He beat a guy named Pettis. Fucking Jeremy Pettis or something like that. And it was really cool. I watched four fights. And just to watch these grown ass gorilla men just beat the fuck out of each other. It's crazy to watch, dude. There was this one fight right before Diaz fought, and it was these two like bodybuilder looking dudes. They clearly are on steroids, and the black guy, it was like he had an absurdly large penis, apparently. I'm sorry, like it's very shocking that I said that, but like, look it up on the fight card with Diaz and fucking Pettis. This dude, he's like 42, and he had the most... It was absurd. It was obscene. I kept thinking, like, God, I don't even want to look at this fight because I can't stop staring at this dude's cock. Not because I'm gay at all. I'm not. It's just, it was just fucking sticking out. Then the first round, he gets kneed in the balls. And I think he was just trying to catch his breath. But I was like, well, of course you got fucking kneed in the balls, man. Look at you, motherfucker. Is that all you in there? You know, it reminds me of the time when my buddy Tony... Apparently, Tony had a large package, man. And I, not that I ever saw it, but that was the word with the two chicks that we hung out with. They said they saw the fucking outline one time. And, you know, maybe he did. Maybe he fucking did. Because I know we got pulled over for some shenanigans. We had alcohol or driving erratically or just a busted taillight. Or basically just kids getting pulled over for, like, them searching us for weed, which I always hid in my jock. And the cop was, like, patting us down and, like, touching our fucking tallywhackers, you know. And I remember him, like, patting Tony and being like, is that all you in there? You know. So maybe the cop was saying something. I think they called him the mailman because he delivers or something like that. Whatever. The dude wasn't getting laid or anything. I'm just saying it's shit you hear, right? You know, I wasn't all about high school where you shower nude or anything like that. We weren't like that, so I really don't know. You know, aside from watching porn, really, what other dudes are packing. Sorry, it just doesn't fucking concern me. But anyway, the mixed martial artist dude from last night, yeah, clearly packing some pretty serious heat, but it was to his detriment because he got kneed in the balls really fucking hard. Anyway, enough cock talk. I'm going back to St. Augustine next. No, sorry, in 3 days, I think Dave is picking me up from the airport. Dave, I'll be in about, 9:30, probably, in Orlando. I got this great little airport 15 minutes from my house in Greensburg, and it's the La Trobe Airport, and La Trobe is such a cool little area. You know, it's pretty much Greensburg, but it's just up the road, but there's, like, three famous things or people from it, and there's nothing that I know of that's famous from Greensburg. I take a little bit of pride in La Trobe, but I wish they were from Greensburg. Mr. Rogers, but you know he hung out in Greensburg. The golfer, Arnold Palmer, and Rolling Rock, the beer. So La Trobe is just like a red light in a very small town, but these three fucking people, you know, they made beer in that town, so maybe it's in the water. Maybe it legitimately is in the water. or maybe there is a college there, so maybe that's where they're from. Maybe they didn't actually grow up there. Who the hell knows? I know one thing. In about 7 hours when I get up at 4:30, I'm going to reach over, slam my C4 from Cellucor, and go work out my fucked up shoulder. Man, I've been trying to keep at it. I've been trying to do my bike rides. Been trying to work out. Been really fucking confident about that shit. Trying to be ever since I fucked up my shoulder. I found a great bike path. It's so important to fucking work your body out, man. Because you're my age, 43. That shit will go quick. And before you know it, you look like hell. I don't look great right now. But if I didn't fucking do anything, I'd look 10 times worse, man. I truly look middle fucking aged, man. Oh, dude. So, going to St. Augustine, and for a couple reasons. My buddy Eddie White, who I definitely want to get him on a podcast. Maybe that's what I'll do. When I go down to St. Augustine, I'll see if he'll sit down with me for an hour. You guys would really like him. He's an unbelievable painter, and he put a guitar in my hand when I was like 14 years old, 15, gave me a guitar. Well, he owed my mom money, so he gave her a guitar, I guess. But I'm the one who had it, and I broke it at a gig many years ago in Seattle, but I still have it. I'm going to get it fixed. I'm going to get it shined up and play it again for sure. But he's doing an art show on Friday, and that's really the reason why I'm going down, because I told him at my mom's funeral, I said, I want to come to your art show, dude. And I'm going to try to get my Uncle Billy, who has some money, to give me his credit card so I can just buy a bunch of Eddie's artwork. I'm definitely going to buy one for myself. He does amazing, like, pastoral scenes from St. Augustine, like stills. Like, you know, he's a guy you'll see sitting downtown St. Augustine, but he doesn't do downtown. I find his subject matter is very interesting. He might actually do downtown St. Augustine. It's a very pretty, very Spanish city. But it was built by the Spaniards many years ago. But man, my voice is starting to go. He'll like take a house that's broken down or just a field or something, and that's what he does. He just finds a spot and he paints it, and they're unbelievable. They're so evocative, and when I look at them, it's like that impression on your mind, like kind of like when I look at the horizon on the ocean, I can actually for a split second grasp how large the world really is, how round it is. When I see his paintings for a split second, it just, the impression hits me of like boom, and I'm there, you know what I mean? So it's pretty amazing. I can't wait to go see his art show. That's Friday. Any of you guys in St. Augustine listening, please come with me. A couple people are going already, but we might as well make a big group out of it. I'm gonna really try to enjoy myself. My mom won't be there, so obviously there will be a low level feeling of sadness and loss, but I want to make sure my brother's doing all right. He's 22. He's an amazing dude, but he has some problems with employment. And just, I got to make sure him and my stepdad are doing all right, you know? And aside from that, I'm going to drink a bunch of coffee and fucking hang out in a beautiful fucking town, you know, that's totally unreal, you know? And that's not my life, you know? That life was earned by somebody like my stepdad who fucking, was like an amazingly driven cook, you know, and there he is. He's like got this really nice life there, and it's pretty cool, man. And we all have to find our path. You know, we have to make sure that we realize that somebody else's life is not our life, even if they're gracious enough to let us into that life. We have to make our own path, you know, and that's what I've been working on lately. It came to me later in life because I didn't fuck off a lot, but I did a lot of other things, you know, that weren't smart financially or career wise. So I guess you could call it catch up, but I'd rather call it mustard, you know? I like mustard on a fucking hot dog, and especially on a Chicago dog. Do you guys like Chicago dogs? I love a Chicago dog. If I'm anywhere that serves a good Chicago dog, I'm all fucking about it. In fact, I got my mom a Chicago dog last time she was in, I was going to say Seattle, but Greensburg. I've been really reverting back to talking about Seattle lately. I don't know why. Or, like, I filled out a bunch of credit card forms, and they fucking all denied me, those bastards. Yeah, Seattle. I kept putting Seattle. I should have put Greensburg. Seattle's so easy for me. It's just on the keyboard, you know? It's super simple. So, yeah. It's going to be a fractured universe there in St. Augustine. I hope I will make the best of it. I hope I enjoy myself. It's kind of a vacation, but really, as Dave put it, keeping in touch, touching base, whatever the fuck he said. That's what I'm doing. So, wish me luck. And yeah, I'll get a fucking interview with Eddie the artist, Eddie White, James Edward White. You can check him out on Facebook. Just great. I love his paintings. I can't wait to own another one. I've owned them before, but I gave them away. I like giving art away. Have you guys been keeping up with this Jeffrey Epstein thing by any chance? He's the billionaire who is, I don't think he's a pedophile, and I think people use the term pedophile to be shocking. And it's not a catch-all phrase. You know, a pedophile likes children. Jeffrey Epstein, the women I saw him with seemed to be young and possibly teenagers. Maybe underage, but they certainly weren't kids, you know? And you can kind of see, I mean, I guess he was into sex trafficking. I don't know the whole story. But you can kind of see how rich people would just be kind of dumbed down into believing that that behavior is okay, right? They're just young, young, beautiful girls. Like, who doesn't like a young, beautiful girl, really? Like, come on, guys. If you're going to walk around and you say you don't find women that are like 17 years old occasionally attractive, you're just lying. I mean, you can, like, you're not an animal, so you can, I mean, you're part animal, so you can split it up and be like, well, I'm not going to talk to her or try to take advantage because she's young, or she would spit in my face anyway, you know. But Jeffrey Epstein, I got to look into it, exactly what he was trafficking. But anyway, he got busted doing this crazy shit, and then he killed himself, and it's super controversial. And actually, I don't know if it is super controversial. Is it super controversial? Are you guys thinking about it? Does anybody give a shit at all? I do know that there were some bones broken in his neck, I guess, but he supposedly hung himself. And obviously, he'd be a candidate to hang himself, but there were a lot of people that wanted him dead. But I will say that it smells pretty fishy. And I think there's, about a 50-50 shot that he was murdered, just because the amount of coincidences surrounding that case and his suicide, quote-unquote, are unbelievable. And we can leave the Clinton body count out of it. Because you can look that up for yourselves. There's a ton of people that have died around the Clintons that, you know, people who had dirt on the Clintons, they just suicide themselves or whatever. But just numbers are kind of staggering, so look into that. Just look up Clinton body count. But don't do it on Google. Maybe do it on Bing. Google's a real piece of shit, and they're literally trying to rig elections so nobody like Donald Trump is ever elected again. And hey, say what you will about the president, but people should be able to have the president that they choose and not be fucked with by the elite billionaires that run crazy tech companies that siphon, you know, 90% of our information on a daily basis. So the strange things that surround Epstein's case. Okay, so he's one of the most, one of the biggest catches as far as prisoners goes that have happened in a long time. So he should have been under watch, under hardcore watch. He got hurt in his cell about 3 weeks ago. It was never clear whether he did that to himself or whether his roommate, who was a he was an ex-cop, a massive man who had killed like four people and buried them. Okay, you don't put a fucking guy like a pervert like Epstein in with a guy like that unless you want him dead, really. Like, so that's the big thing. You know, they put him in with some fucking maniac who has killed many men before. The guards first said they weren't watching them, but then it came out, oh no, they were sleeping, and they falsified the documents. And people go, oh, that's what happened. Oh, idiot guards. And they just falsified some documents and they were sleeping. But that's if we only believe the premise. You know, that may not be true at all. Like, you know, they could have just walked away. They could have been paid, whatever. Paid to either let him kill himself or let somebody in there to do it. But it seems unlikely that it would be so coincidental that these guards would happen to be asleep for the hour or two that he happened to kill himself. Like, he would even fucking know that. So in that case, it seems more likely that maybe he was actually murdered. From my reports say that there were screams heard from his cell, and they said, Jeffrey Epstein, breathe, breathe, Epstein, or something like that. There were bones broken in his neck, and I don't know, is that about it? But it all just seems really fishy. Aside from that, many very, very powerful people wanted him dead. You know, he'd got out of those charges once before, and, you know, it was such a big case now, it's very possible that they threw the book at him for the rest of his life. But, anyway, I'm sorry. It's been a long fucking day, man. Anyway, If you want to know the real skinny, go see Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a fucking hero. Go get on his podcast. Go listen to Alex Jones. He's always talking about Epstein because he's been talking about it for 10 years. And it actually gave him some of his respect back in a lot of circles. I always respected the guy. I think his heart's in the right place. I think he gets a little ahead of himself and he's kind of a maniac, but I love Alex Jones. So go look up Alex Jones. Go look up Nate Diaz. I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Great fucking movie. I saw it 3 times. I think I've seen my fill, though. 3 times was about it. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes. I love the fact that Quentin Tarantino... You know what? It's a spoiler alert. So turn the fucking podcast off if you care or if you haven't seen the movie and you want to see it. But basically, Tarantino rewrites the Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski murders in a very interesting way. So I guess I'm not going to spoil it for you. But great surprise ending. Go see it. Go fucking see it, man. So that's what the J-Bo is about this week, man. And next week we'll have some really cool shit. I really want to get up on that ball. I really want to fucking do it every fucking week, dude. I really do. Sorry for the swearing. I'll try to be better about that, too. You guys are probably cool with it, though. Nate Diaz swears his ass off. My throat's starting to go. So this week your homework would be check out Nate Diaz. Tell me what you think. You guys know who you are. Check out Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Great film by Quentin Tarantino. And what was the third thing? Oh, look into the Epstein case. Ooh, it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's actually not that interesting. But it's kind of interesting to me. It could be more interesting. But they pretty much ruled it a suicide. And who the hell knows? Why should we focus on that fucking piece of shit anyway? Especially if he was into little kids. Fuck that. Or girls. I don't know, man. You know, he's clearly a scumbag. I'm sorry. I wasn't defending him earlier. I'm just saying, like, he wasn't necessarily a pedophile if he'd like 16, 17-year-old girls, you know, who are sexually mature. He's just a fucking scumbag. He's a trafficker. Okay? All right. We'll talk later. Have a wonderful week. And please tune in next week. This is The Shit Show with J-Bo. We shall talk soon.